Today's program is brought to you by Campari. For more information, visit Campari.com.
Hi, this is Celia Kutcher, host of Animal Instinct, and you are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good morning. You're listening to In the Drink on heritageradionetwork.org. I'm your host, Joe Campanelli. We have a great show for you today. Before we get started, I just want to let you know that you can find me all summer this summer at Alta Linea at the Highline Hotel. Our last day is going to be October 9th. And get yourself a frozen Negroni. We would love to have you by. We are now open for lunch as well. So Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. through 10 p.m. and 11 p.m. On Friday and Saturday night. And join us for brunch as well. We have frozen Negronis. We have great Italian wine. A beautiful outdoor setting. Would love to see you there. If you like In the Drink, you can always listen to us live at 11 a.m. on Wednesday mornings. We tape here at Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. They are great hosts. We love taping here. But you can listen to all of the past episodes on heritageradionetwork.org. Subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher. And please feel free to give us ratings. Those help us out very much. Would love to hear from you. All right, we have a great show today. As I said, this is one of the nicest guys in the wine and restaurant industry, someone I've known for a while. He is by all means at the top of his game. We have Jeff Taylor, the new wine director at Felidia Restaurant, one of the great institutions of Italian food and wine. It's been open 35 years. Jeff has, before starting at Felidia, he was at 11 Madison Park for over 6 years when they got 3 Michelin stars, 4 New York Times stars, all sorts of awards, and was more recently at Bethany, where he was wine director, another super highly acclaimed restaurant that you guys should check out. But really excited to welcome Jeff here at Felidia, where he oversees a wine list of over 1,500 wines. That is super exciting. Welcome to In the Drink. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, my friend. Great to be here.
And so tell us about this new opportunity, what it means for you to be at Felidia.
Sure. So, yes, like you said, I was at Bethany for a while, and then I actually left last September, and for about 7 months was working at a hotel, which for whatever reason didn't work out. So I left there in kind of mid-April of this year, and really didn't have a gig, and was looking around, and Jeff Porter, who's the beverage director for all of Bastianich and Battaglia restaurants, called me up and said, hey, I don't know if you're into this, but Felidia is looking, and they're looking for someone like you. It's an off-the-radar restaurant, has a huge wine list. You know, it's been a Grand Award winner in the past for about 20 years. They haven't received the Grand Award in a few years, but, you know, it's got a great amount of wine in the cellar. And my first thing was, wow, I've never been. I've always known about the restaurant, but I had never been. And I'd had Fortunato, the chef, his food at other events and whatnot. But I went and I interviewed and, you know, met with Lydia and met with Chef Fortunato and the general manager, and just saw an opportunity for a number of reasons. One, to work with a great wine program, but two, to be able to work at a restaurant that's had a great track run, you know, and restaurants. I'm a little bit of a restaurant historian here, and I know they don't last for 35 years if they're not doing something right. And, you know, when I think of restaurants from the 80s, you know, Felidia's started in 1981. Gotham was 1984, and then Union Square Cafe was 1985. I can't name any other restaurants from the 80s that are still around. So that was exciting to me to be able to get into a program that had...
As you were starting to say that, Gotham and Union Square came to my mind, and then I went blank, too. So I don't know of anyone that started in the 80s that's still around
or that's worth talking about. And, you know, Felidia probably, of those three, is the one that people sometimes even, you know, forget that's still around. And it's kind of, you know, it's a little bit off the beaten path in Midtown East on 58th and 2nd. But It's got a consistent following of locals and regulars that have been coming there for years. Some of the staff has literally been there for years. One gentleman named Peppino, who's this wonderful gentleman from Sicily, has been there since 1982.
Come on.
And it's, you can't get that in a restaurant anymore.
The last time that I went to Philidia, I was at a wine tasting with Jeff Porter.
Okay.
And he said, we're going to Philidia. I think that this, I think that Fortunato is one of the best Italian chefs in America right now.
Like, I would agree.
And so you want to come? And I was like, sure. I hadn't thought of going to Philidia. Yeah. I don't think I'd been there either.
Right.
And I went and my mind was blown. The food was awesome.
Food is great. And it says a lot about Chef Fortunato. The fact that Lydia was the opening chef and was there from essentially 1981 to 1996. And then Fortunato took over and he's been there for 20 years. And, you know, he's the most humble of chefs because he's always in the kitchen. We're open for 12 services, and he, by choice, works Monday through Friday, lunch and dinner, and then Saturday night dinner, and only takes Sunday night off. And in between lunch and dinner during the week, he goes around the corner to the Crunch and works out for an hour. I mean, the guy's a machine. It's really impressive, his work ethic. So anytime I feel like I'm dragging my feet, I think of Chef, and I'm like, oh, I gotta pick it up a little here.
Yeah, so there's something inspiring about seeing, you know, someone else working so hard.
Sure, to see a chef in a kitchen. You know, a lot of times, you know, given what the world we're in and you know, events and all that, chefs sometimes get taken out of the kitchen a lot, and it's nice to see him in there for the majority of you know, of the week. So
yeah. So talk to us about the wine cellar that you inherited.
Sure, and sure.
I imagine there's has to be some wines that have been there that someone purchased like a decade or two ago.
Yeah, that's the you know, it's been interesting now. I just finished my third inventory, and thankfully it's all in Binwise, but it's been interesting to kind of see, you know, you can kind of track the history of the bottles, and you know, some of them definitely predate the Binwise implementation, but there's, you know, there's a great vertical of Giacomo Conterno, both Monfortino and Cucina Francia, that go back to the 90s. Right now, probably a little underpriced, so come in and get them while you can, because I'm probably going to change that soon. There's the old Turlanos, you know, old Turlanos from the 50s, whites that are amazing, you know, Pinot Biancos and wines like that that are just fantastic. Those were, I think, a re-release back in the, you know, late 2000s, you know, whatever, the aughts, I guess they call it, yes. Yeah, there's the noughties. There's a bunch of you know, all the producers you should have in Barolo and Barbaresco. You know, being about an 85% Italian list, that's another thing that drew me to it. You know, areas that I in the past I've gotten to work with Piedmont and Tuscany and stuff like that, but really, you know, exploring Valdosta and Sicily and, you know, Umbria and other, you know, wine regions that have great wine. The other thing that really attracted me to the program at Philidia was that it's not all just Italian. Yeah, it's about 85% Italian, but there's still 15% of great Austrian Rieslings and Grüner Veltliners. Chef Dodo is a huge Austrian white wine fan, so it's nice to have old, you know, 2000-2001 Herzberger, FX Pickler, stuff like that. There's a great white Burgundy selection. So I'm kind of, in addition to making sure I fill all the holes in Italy, I'm trying to build up those, you know, other regions too. And because a lot of guests still come in and they don't want Italian wine necessarily.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a positive that you have this upside of some like well-aged wines that have been in the cellar for a long time.
Sure.
But the negative that you're also probably inheriting some stuff that you wouldn't necessarily put on the list yourself.
Well, you know, luckily there's been a stream of steady buyers there that have been good. David Weissenhofer, who now is at Acid Inc, was a longtime wine director there. Nick Finger, who's now at the 21 Club, was the wine director there. My predecessor, Jenny Goodso. So there's been some sensible and smart buying there. And I think what I inherited, the good is definitely outweighs the bad. You know, Lydia has a wonderful cellar as well, so there's some of her wine there. You know, old vintages of Port and old Sauternes, Dechem, and old, you know, Bordeaux from the 80s. So, yeah, it's a fun list to play with.
So then how do you put your own, like, mark and personality on this list? What are you trying to do with it?
Yeah, well, I'm still trying to figure that out. You know, I obviously, people that know me know I have, you know, affinity for certain areas in the world. I'm a big Australia fan. I'm a big Santa Barbara fan. So I'm kind of tweaking that out. I'm also there's going to be a page or at least two pages of varietals from Italy, but from other places. So it'll be Nebbiolo from California, from Jim Clendenin.
Cool.
You know, Jordan Salcido's, you know, wines.
We had the guys from Rhyme on the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're doing some really interesting, like, Ribolla.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. And, you know, there's a ton of that out there, and that's kind of a cool little angle, like, the, you know, here's the grape that's definitely Italian in origin, but it, you know, we're growing it in California, we're growing it in Australia. There's great Nebbiolo coming out of Australia right now.
Get out of here. I didn't know
that
at
all. Yeah, definitely.
What area of Australia?
all over, but in fact, my friend Gordon Little from Little Peacock just shot me a photo of this Nebbiolo that he's drinking now, hoping that I might put it on the list.
Well, you can at least put it on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm going to see here. McLaren Vale. And I'm sorry, not a Nebbiolo. It's a Sangiovese. But from McLaren Vale, Cariole, Coriole. So I'll look into that.
Okay.
But
who knew? I had no idea.
Oh, yeah, a lot. And when I was there in 2012, we tasted a surprising amount of, especially Nebbiolo and Sangiovese, and a little bit of Pinot Grigio and Pinot Bianco and stuff like that. But.
Do they have access to the great versions of those Italian wines there? Or, you know, how do you think that kind of got to Australia?
Yeah, I'm assuming they got clippings or something of that mm-hmm. nature. But, yeah, some of the bigger wineries that we went to in Australia when I was there had libraries of the great wines of the world, more for their own personal consumption than anything. But, you know, case in point, they make a lot of Syrah, or Shiraz as they call it. But when we were at some places, they had, you know, the great Northern Rhone Syrahs in their cellar. So, you know, they know Chav, they know Klopp, they know, you know, they know all those.
They know these, like, benchmark great producers.
Right,
and so they have something to compare it to.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. Have you started doing this? Are your guests open?
There's a lot of wine to sift through and I'm still trying to get the cellar kind of organized to my liking. Mm-hmm. And by cellar, I mean cellars. There's, you know, there's offsite storage. There's quite a large cellar on premise. There's about 7 Eurocovs, and then a whole bunch of other nooks and crannies.
So at Lartuzzi, most we have on the wine list would ever be like 250, 275. How long does it, does it physically take you? How many people to count?
We're getting better. We just did inventory on Monday, and it took essentially three people. We have two Binwise guns. And then, luckily, you can get the Binwise app on your phone, so you basically have to do everything by hand, but you get a third or fourth, you know, scanner, so to speak. All day on Monday and the better part of yesterday.
Jeez, that's crazy.
Yeah, but that's quick. we were closed for the beginning of July, and I took both of my sommeliers to work during the closure, and we re-binned the entire cellar. By bin, I mean put bin numbers into play, which hadn't existed before. So, you know, like I said, doing a lot of maintenance. So these are ideas like the Italian varietals from different places and all that are things that I'm probably going to, start to do in the fall once I get things a little bit more squared away.
All right. On that note, we are going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more of Jeff Taylor of Felidia right after this.
When you talk about Campari, one of the first things that comes to mind is the inimitable and ubiquitous Negroni cocktail, a favorite of Heritage Radio Networks. Joe Campanelli, host of In the Drink on Heritage Radio, talks about the interesting history of the Negroni cocktail.
The classic Milano Torino, which is better known as the Americano cocktail, which is Campari. Good red vermouth. Use good red vermouth like Carpano Antica formula, Contrado, Cocchi Vermouth di Torino, one of those, and soda water. Then later on in its history was transformed into the Negroni, which substituted good gin for the soda water, something a little bit stronger. Count Negroni spent many years traveling the Midwest, the Southwest of the United States, found a penchant for strong drinks, and later went to London where he started to like his gin, brought that all back to his favorite bar in Florence and said, I'll take one of those Americano cocktails, but make it stronger, make mine with gin. and such was birthed the Negroni cocktail. And now it's really popular. I find that people are asking for Negronis with agave-based spirits, mezcal or tequila Negronis, especially mezcal, a little more popular. So mezcal Negronis are really delicious.
Experiment with your own Negroni recipe and enjoy it with Campari for a perfect cocktail creation. For more information, visit Campari.com.
Please enjoy responsibly.
All right, and we are back on In the Drink with the new Felidia wine director, Jeff Taylor, who was also named one of the best new sommeliers in 2014 by Wine and Spirits magazine. He's been part of a 3 Michelin star team at 11 Madison Park, 4 New York Times stars, been at Bettany. He is just one of the best sommeliers, best wine and restaurant professionals in the city right now, and a damn nice guy. Just the man. Anyway, speaking of Campari and Negronis, which everyone knows I am a huge fan of, I hear that you guys are doing a little aperitivo hour.
That is correct. Yeah, we started this past Monday in the bar only from Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 p.m. We have the aperitivo hour of Felidia, 5 crafted aperitivo-style cocktails and 5 small bites that Chef has put together. All for $15 right now, but we have little spins on the classic drink. So instead of just an Aperol, spritz, we've actually taken the Contrato Aperitif, which I don't know if you've worked with that product from Skernik.
Yeah, I love it. It's delicious.
Great. Just to give it a little bit of a different spin. So, we don't have to call it an Aperol spritz. We've taken a gin and tonic, which is, as you know, in Europe is like the drink everyone, they crush them out of goblets.
Crazy. Huge.
Yeah, they take like a Bordeaux style glass.
Crazy.
What we've done there is we've made it the Lydia's Garden Gin and Tonic. So Lydia has this wonderful organic garden at her property, and as a result, she brings in all these fresh herbs and vegetables that we use into the restaurant. And our bartender Josh White has made a lot of different tinctures and oils and whatnot from these herbs and stuff. And so we have one that we put in a spray bottle that has rosemary and thyme and lavender and some basil and oregano in it, and that's Lydia's garden essence. So what we do is we make a gin and tonic, but after we put the ice in, we spray the ice with this tincture, if you will, and then top it up with the gin and the tonic. And we do a little house-infused cucumber and rosemary gin as well. So it's a very aromatic gin and tonic, but, it speaks to Lydia. We do a seasonal Bellini, so instead of just peach, we go in what's ever fresh in the market right now. We have, different berries and stuff like that we're doing Bellinis. And, so it's a fun little...
That's awesome.
Fun little program. That's really cool. And
and I'm sure you can get, regular Negronis, too.
Yeah, regular Negronis. The whole
spirits.
The whole wine list is available. Yeah. We're really trying to find, what the demographic's going to be. And, I really urge any industry friends that are off Monday through Friday, essentially you usually go out to eat to another restaurant or something.
Right.
And, start your pregame early at Felidia.
I love aperitivo.
Yeah.
I really just love everything about it. And what you find a lot in Italy is that people are not as thoughtful with their drinks as you're being.
Sure.
So it's usually you get, it's in Italy, it's a little bit later because they're eating dinner, someone who's further on in their years, you're still eating dinner at like 9 or 10 o'clock right?
Yeah.
But a lot of times it's just, you're having this great drink. Maybe you're sitting somewhere beautiful or outside. And in Italy, they can't imagine having a drink without at least having something, a little bite, or having a little bite without having something to drink. So this sounds like a great interpretation, a great way to do it. It's very civilized.
That's what we've done. And, we have a lot of businesses around us. So we're praying to the people at Bloomingdale's and Bloomberg and, other places that they play hooky and, get off work an hour early.
Yeah, Bloom.
and come, come over at 4 o'clock to start their night off. So.
And this just started.
This just started this past Monday. So, that's
right,
a fun thing.
So go and you'll be like, I heard this really cool thing just started.
Yeah. We'll.
Is it hard to do new things at a restaurant that has been around for 35 years? Or, you come up with an idea like this, so you're like, yeah, we got this kid. I mean, are you even 35 years old?
I am. Well over. It's there's a certain thing with, and kind of the unwritten Philidia mission statement is to you know, honor the past of Philidia and the history of it, but to make it relevant for 2016. So to do something like Aperitivo Hour, or I'd love to plug also, we have a wonderful beer dinner coming up on Tuesday, August the 16th with Brian Strumke from Stillwater Artisanal. To do a 6-course menu of Chef Fortunato's food with actually 7 of Brian's beers, because we'll have an aperitivo beer as well.
Awesome.
With some small bites, and then go into a 6-course tasting menu with 6 of Brian's awesome beers, because if anyone knows Brian, he's the true gypsy brewer, and brews a whole bunch of different styles of beers, and it's probably one of the coolest pairings I've ever been a part of, and that's saying a lot because I've done a lot of pairings. But really, just to work with Fortunato and Brian, and okay, we're going to do this beer with this dish. Like, case in point, the main course, Brian has the best names for these beers, but the beer is called I Miss the Old Kanye.
That's hilarious.
And it's an imperial porter that has the flavors of Dr. Pepper. There's 23 known flavors in Dr. Pepper deconstructed into the porter.
Come on.
So I was like, I went to Chef and I was like, we got to find a way to incorporate Dr. Pepper into a dish. And he's like, oh, I got it. We're going to do a beef with a Dr. Pepper barbecue sauce.
Oh.
So he's excited about it. Brian's excited about it. And it, like I said, August 16th, I think it's at 7 o'clock. You can call the restaurant for tickets. It's $125 plus, but will be well worth it. So,
I love those Stillwater beers.
Yeah, they're great.
I know they make several saisons, but one of their saisons, the one that you could find in bottles, we usually keep in our refrigerator.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, Cellar, one of the saisons I like is Of Love and Regret, that has mm-hmm. like chamomile and honeysuckle and a couple of other herbs in it. We're pairing that with a rabbit dish because that's what the rabbits eat, right? They feed on clover and stuff like that. So
smart.
Heather, chamomile, lavender, and dandelion. So yeah, that's a saison. Yeah, he's just really a cool guy that thinks outside the box and beer. And
that's exciting. I'm going to try to come to this.
I would love for you to come.
I hope to see you there
well. We'll talk. Yeah, I'd like to see a lot of people there. We have room for a lot, so we're looking forward to it. The other thing we have on right now, which I haven't done in a while, is Restaurant Week. I haven't done a Restaurant Week in probably since my second year at EMP in 08 or something like that.
I feel like Restaurant Week for restaurant people is a lot like brunch.
Yeah, you want to work at places that avoid it, but
right.
It's the devil we know. And they lie. It's not Restaurant Week. You can't even really call it Restaurant Month because it's actually 5 weeks long.
It's 5 weeks long.
Yeah, it goes till goes to August 19th. Jeez. So, but we've done some cool stuff there. The other thing about Philidia is it's probably the best lunch deal in town, regardless of whether it's Restaurant Week or not, because we offer a 3-course, $32.50 lunch menu year round with all the same food that you have on the dinner menu, and it's a steal of a deal. So we do the Restaurant Week. I've done 5 wines, all at $9 a glass and $38 a bottle. We've done a Prosecco, a Bianco, a Rosso, a Rosato, and then a sweet wine. So, a lot of that is people are enjoying, an affordable glass of wine with their affordable Restaurant Week menu. So that's been fun, but it's been busy.
It's been busy,
yeah,
right?
We're only in day two. Or actually,
the thing,
week
I mean,
two.
I was exposed. I went to NYU one of the early years of Restaurant Week, and I was able to go to restaurants that I just could not afford.
Yeah.
I couldn't ever experience, right. That time as a kid who loved eating in restaurants, but didn't have the funds.
Yeah.
And it was a way to just be introduced to all of these. So for me, it worked, and it furthered my own restaurant education and love of the industry.
Yeah, without a doubt.
I think it's a good thing that you're doing for people.
Thanks. I'll keep telling myself that.
I know it's really a lot of restaurants. It's not that. It's not profitable. It's not that profitable.
Yeah.
And it's really a way to reach out to
people. And we were already operating at that, that kind of price point already. So we were used to it. And it's been, I tell you, the past, seven shifts or this past 7 lunches that we've done it have been crazy busy. So it's a good thing for us. It's a good thing for the restaurant. It's, a good thing for people that want to experience Philidia for the first time, or people that haven't been to Philidia in years. That's another thing I hear is, oh my God, I haven't been there in 10 years.
Right.
Well, come back.
Come back. Yeah. It's outstanding.
Yeah.
You have all the reasons to go now. Great wine list. Jeff Taylor. You know Jeff Taylor.
Now I'm aptly named because, you know, I put the vino before I was at the Italian place. So now it's right. It's linked up. So
I love that you're working with Italian wines. What area of Italian wine that's not maybe an obvious area, not, you know, Barolo, Barbaresco, Brunello, have you, like, been excited about as this job sort of asked you to kind of dive into a little bit?
You know, being the summer, I've kind of gotten into a little bit more of the lighter styles. Obviously, you know, our Pepe and stuff from Lombardia is always a, you know, pouring the Rosso del Valtellina by the glass, and that's, you know, just a huge seller.
And you can listen to Isabella's episode.
Just here. Yeah, that's awesome.
Another one of the nicest people.
Without a doubt. Oh. And that, I mean, those wines just sell themselves. They're just absolutely great. Valdosta, I like to do a lot of things there. We have a Chateau Feuillette right now on the list, which is a Moscato Secco, which is really cool and kind of outside the box. I'm a huge fan of Ligurian wines right now. Punta Crena, Matto Osso is one of my favorite grapes. It's this little known grape that no one really knows. I actually poured it by the glass at Bettany for a long time. I think Punta Crena makes great wines. Their Vermentino is great.
I love that wine, the Matto Osso. I've never seen another one. Have you seen another?
It doesn't. And I'll tell you at least the story, and what my friend Lyle Railsback, who works for Kermit Lynch, says, is that it's a very fickle grape to grow. And a lot of the other producers in Liguria have ripped up the plantings and just planted Vermentino or Pagato or something like that, which just grows a lot easier. But the guy said Punta Crena, and I actually tasted with a gentleman at Bettany, says, I'm a stubborn guy, and this is a stubborn grape, so we're bound to, you know, get along. And they make a sparkling, and they make the still, and it's just, it's almost like a Italian Grüner Veltliner kind of thing. It has this herbaceous quality. It has a little bit of that savory note, and just works with a wide variety of food. So I'm really excited about those right now for the summer, and then, you know, I'll get into the heavier reds and stuff in the winter.
I'm with you. It sounds like the wines that you're excited about are the ones that I am as well. So
cool. I'm glad we have similar tastes.
I'm glad you're working like predominantly in Italian wine. Only 85% of the list, so only like 1,200 Italian wines there.
Okay.
Something like that.
It's a good amount.
It's outstanding. It's exciting. Jeff, I thank you so much for being on the
show.
My pleasure. And everyone, I really encourage you to go visit Jeff. Like I said, he is one of the best people in the restaurant and wine industry, as you tell, one of just like the nicest, smartest guys. You will drink well and you will eat well at Felidia. It is just, it's an institution for a good reason. All right. Thanks so much for listening. I want to thank everyone at Heritage. Thanks to Pierre, who's sitting in for Dave this week. Really appreciate everything. And thanks so much to our sponsor, Campari Aperol. Go drink some of that at the Aperitivo Hour at Felidia. They would love to have you. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.